Joined right now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. How you doing, bud?
I am good. Can't wait for the eighth round.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like this has just been nonstop, perpetual motion, this draft. Well, now that we see the nine picks that the Browns have and we look at this thing from top to bottom, what jumps out at you as – I don't mean like the single player because that's the easy one. You say, okay, Trent Richardson, he'll be the difference maker. But if you had a collective thought – on what this draft, on how to define this draft, what would it be?
I would say that at the top of it, it was bold and it was aggressive and it was thrilling, and I'm referring specifically to the first round because I think they might have gotten the best player in the draft in Richardson, and then the excitement of getting Brandon Weeden and how they did it, and then after that, I thought they had a shopping list that they had to go out and get. Like, if you know there's a snowstorm coming tomorrow and you hit the grocery store and you say bread, milk, eggs, things like all the necessities.
Beer.
Right tackle.
Yeah.
You know, we need some linebackers that can get in there and play and also help out on special teams. We're going to need a receiver. We're going to need some defensive linemen that join the rotation. All of that, I think, was accomplished.
Yeah, it seemed very methodical.
I think, and that's what it has to be.
Yeah.
I think it has to be businesslike at some point. And I think people, and I know people, you know, in their reflections on Saturday, late afternoon, and Sunday yesterday are, you know, mixed about, oh, what did they do in the third round? Where was the receiver and things like that? But I think the first round was so thrilling, and they're such glamour positions, running back, wide receiver, that you keep saying, oh, well, we're going to spend the entire day picking, you know, kick returners and wide receivers. But the Browns had other needs, and that's when it has to become businesslike.
Jim, a lot of people were fixated on this whole receiver conversation, and a lot of people wanted to see that receiver taken in the second round, at the top of the second round, and in particular Stephen Hill's name. They wanted to hear that one called off the board by the Browns, and it didn't happen. And, you know, the more I look at it, I mean, I was a fan of Stephen Hill before the draft. I mean, I still am. This looks like the big kid, things that you want to see, athletic and so forth. But at the same time, I don't know if his talent level, because there were some disputes over this, and there's some questions now among the Jets who gave up some picks to move up to make sure they got the guy. Some questions about just what kind of a pro will he be, because there's a limited body of work and what happened at Georgia Tech. So on that basis, as much as I said, I'd like to see this guy, but I'd like to see it in a Browns uniform. I wanted to see it on terms that were better than, say, you know, having to, oh, yeah, let's jump on him at the top of the second round. That probably, I mean, who knows how it'll pan out, but I don't know if – I think that was really risky.
Yeah, I think it is too. And, you know, you wonder about that, and you're right about the body of work, and it has nothing to do with the kid. It has everything to do with where he played and the system and the coach that he played under.
The offense,
Georgia Tech runs an option. They run the ball. They sprinkle a pass in, but they run the ball. That's how Paul Johnson did it at Navy and before Navy and now after Navy at Georgia Tech. I liked what they did in the second round, Vic, because I have to tell you that right tackle position was essential to what they were going to be able to accomplish on the offensive line. And you were looking for a starter at right tackle. You just weren't looking for a right tackle.
No.
You needed a guy to come in and play, and they jumped on the pick, which tells me they had him zeroed in.
Yes.
I heard he was the best tackle down at the Senior Bowl. I know you were down there.
He had a great week of practice. He blew it away in practices day after day. And like I saw the tackle position, Jimmy, and the receiver position as being very similar in this draft, in that you had at receiver a few guys that I think were sort of those can't-miss first-round grade kind of guys. And we know who they are: Justin Blackmon, Kendall Wright, Michael Floyd. After you got past that three, and I think in the mind of the collective mind, I know, of this team, of the Browns, that was it. I mean, they want. I'm not going to say they didn't want a receiver, but they weren't going to invest anything in the way of a premium pick in anybody because they didn't grade them accordingly. So they go down and get a Travis Benjamin a little bit later in the draft, fourth round, and love the dynamic speed and the return ability that he has. Tackle, same thing. You know the names of certainly Mike Adams because of Ohio State and some of the other players,
Khalil,
Riley Reiff.
Right.
But after what I'm saying is after Khalil, I think there were questions, big questions, on the quality of that position. So when they targeted this guy who wasn't on a lot of radar, Mitchell Schwartz, on a lot of, say, national draft nick radar, they did it with a purpose. They pictured that guy stepping in from Cal and being a starter at right tackle. And as you said, they didn't hesitate.
No, they didn't. And as we watched them right after they made the pick, everybody else ran and got their offensive linemen and their tackles after that.
Yeah.
So they and he specifically initiated the run then after that, and the tackles and some offensive linemen went off the board. But you really had to get a tackle here. You had to get a right tackle, and because you wanted him to play right away, you had to get this guy.
Right. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Jim, the other interesting names from the defensive side and two guys that I think are going to get a lot of attention, John Hughes, the defensive tackle from Cincinnati, third-round pick, and then James Michael Johnson, picked two spots later on the fourth round, the second of the two Browns' fourth-round picks from Nevada. These two guys, I'll tell you, the two biggest smiles I saw in the building after these picks were made, well, maybe the biggest was Chris Tabor, the Browns special teams coach, because I think he saw two cover guys joining his group. And then from the defensive side, Billy Davis, for sure, the linebackers coach, knowing in Johnson that I think he's got a pretty good backup guy and has that infusion of youth in the linebacking core and just some depth there. And with Hughes, and you look at Dick Geron, he was another guy smiling broadly after this pick because he knew he got away with something, to the extent that having Ataba Rubin and Phil Taylor stay healthy pretty much the whole year, but eventually kind of run out of gas and then have to rotate in. And again, nothing against the Schaeferings and, you know, the way that they dealt with the rotation. But I think they clearly went into this draft saying, we need a guy who can truly be a step in there player for a substantive amount of time when necessary.
Well, and the thing is, Vic, and it's really changing in the NFL right now, because people use the method of thinking about the draft that you get a guy like that in the third round, he has to start for you. But a defensive lineman is very different, because he's going to play. What the new thing in the NFL is that you really have to be too deep everywhere along those defensive lines, and especially if you're going to play the 4-3.
Yeah.
And the Browns are in the 4-3. Cincinnati does it. Baltimore and Pittsburgh do it, although they play the different schemes. But you have to be deep on those defensive lines. The Giants certainly are a great example of a team that does it. And when the Giants got healthy, got those guys healthy at the end of the year last year, that's when they made the run. So I think that maybe he's not going to start, but he'll be in there right away. And they have you figured now, how many snaps can you give us?
Right.
You know, that's
right.
That's the new equation.
It's like a pitch count almost.
It's exactly like a pitch count.
I mean, and again, I don't want to belittle Scott Paxton and you know, Brian Schaeferings. I mean, I think those two guys were scrappy players who give this team, you know, give them something to put in there. But you always have to look at addressing it and seeing how much better you can get. And potentially, I mean, when you read about this guy, you read about a player who's aggressive. He's 6'2", which doesn't give him the best in the way of height, but 309 or more in weight. You can move him right in the middle. You can put him over center. You can put him over guard. I mean, he's got versatility.
Well, and I think that's going to be important. And you just need them. They're not sexy picks.
No.
Okay. It's not a guy that's got the 4.26 40. There's no question about it. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you have got to have fresh legs in there to shut down a team, get your defense off the field, you know, get a 3-and-out and stop a team and get the ball back. I mean, it just figures that you have to have these kind of players.
And another guy who I think will fall under the heading of, you know, whatever you want to call it, intriguing, I guess, is Emmanuel Acho from Texas, because his story's interesting when you listen to him. He's such a bright guy, and you could see a guy who I think can fit, make it work. I mean, I don't know how much of a contribution he'll have, but I do get the sense that wherever they put him on this team, somewhere in that linebacking core, he's, or special teams especially, but as a reserve in that linebacking core, you're going to hear from him.
It's interesting, and you know, he falls into this category. It's very interesting that when you can get a player like that from a big program that late in the draft, who has played an exceptional amount. Smelly is the same way out of Alabama. These guys, big programs, big games. They know how to do it. They've played a lot. I think that helps you. I love the fact that Schwartz has played a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I like the fact that Ryan Miller has played
a lot
at Colorado.
Too.
And the Browns are not getting these one-year wonders in college. These guys have already logged a lot of time. So they've gone through the good, they've gone through the bad, and now they're going to even get better, you hope.
And the other thing is, I think, versatility. You know, what they've been exposed to using – Schwartz as an example. A lot of varied blocking schemes that they run at Cal is very helpful for a guy, I think, to make the conversion to the NFL. And I think from the standpoint of intelligence factor, ability to learn, how coachable they are. I mean, these were some of the profiles that the Browns, I know, that this personnel staff put on these players, knowing how much the teaching of this coaching staff has got to play into the team's chances for success. When you have a staff that has people like Dick Geron, Brad Childress, you know, the men who I think bring Mark Whipple, the quarterback coach, who bring a lot of years to this staff, and now Tim Houck comes in as a secondary coach. Good teachers, and I think, and we never saw this staff really get a chance to do the extensive teaching that last off season that
sure,
they could be
no
because yeah. there wasn't any, but now look at how they're into it now, because this is the week that within the off season where these coaches can actually work with the players, and you got to see the bounce in their step, the coaches, as they walk in and out of this building to work with the guys.
How unique is this though, and these two offensive linemen that are coming in here now, the drafted offensive linemen that are coming in here, they're going to get great coaching.
Yeah.
George Warhop is an exceptional offensive line coach, but they both have had Steve Marshall in their past.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Miller, too, at Colorado.
Right.
And Schwartz, definitely, at Cal. Steve Marshall was a very solid, very good offensive line coach when he was here,
mm-hmm.
and has done a great job and has sent a lot of good offensive linemen into the NFL. So, I mean, that's a good start. And now, you know, they have some good footing as they get here.
Great stuff, Jimmy. Thank you so much, and we will catch up soon.
Good. Rick, I look forward to it.
He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game.